Well, that was a really interesting presentation. Sometimes I get a little freaked out by social media. You won't find me on Facebook. But it's really encouraging to see social media's potential to do really good things. So thank you, Harry. That was really interesting. Good morning, everyone. My name is Biju Hunt. I'm from the Sinai Urban Health Institute in Chicago, Illinois. And this morning I'm going to be discussing our breast health navigation program, Helping Her Live. Just a note, I'll often refer to Helping Her Live as HHL. And I don't have any relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start by providing some background on and motivation for the Helping Her Live project. Then I'll talk a little bit about the Helping Her Live model, and then I'll go into some data on our client demographics and navigation outcomes. Helping Her Live is funded by the Avon Foundation for Women and was designed to address some disturbing findings regarding breast cancer incidence and mortality in Chicago. Some of these findings include the following: the incidence of breast cancer is higher among white women, yet mortality is higher among black women. There are disparities in the screening, diagnosis, and treatment of breast cancer in minority women. And as cancers like breast cancer become more amenable to early detection and treatment, disparities actually increase, which suggests it's a lack of access that's driving the disparities in mortality. These findings are captured by what we refer to around the office as the graph. The graph displays black and white breast cancer mortality rates for Chicago from 1981 to 2007. In three-year averages. Here you can see in the early 1980s, the breast cancer mortality rates in Chicago for white women were actually higher than for black women. Over time, the rates for white women decreased dramatically while remaining essentially unchanged for black women. In the early to mid-90s, the disparity really becomes apparent, and this likely stemmed from two major events in the U.S. First, the Mammography Quality Standards Act was passed in 1993 and made mammography more readily available to women. And second, treatment for breast cancer also became more readily available in the 90s. So at the final time point of the graph, which is the 2005 to 2007 three-year average, we see the death rate from breast cancer for black women was 62% higher than for white women. Again, these are just Chicago rates. This next graph, we take a look at breast cancer mortality in Chicago by race, ethnicity for the target communities. HHL targets two community areas in Chicago. North Lawndale is predominantly non-Hispanic black, while Westtown Humboldt Park is a mix of non-Hispanic white and Hispanic. Again, the point here, when compared to non-Hispanic whites, we see elevated mortality rates for non-Hispanic blacks as well as for Puerto Ricans. So with these findings in mind, HHL set out to design an intervention with the following goals. We want to reduce disparities and improve overall breast health outcomes for all women in the Chicago communities of North Lawndale and Humboldt Park. We want to engage, educate, empower the women we serve so they can share their knowledge, and we really want to increase routine mammogram utilization and timely receipt of results, resolution of diagnostics, and access to treatment when applicable. So our work towards these goals involves two primary activities. First, we do community outreach. We aim to educate and recruit women where they are in the community. And second, we do client navigation, which involves enrolling women, scheduling appointments, eliminating barriers to attending appointments. We do follow-up, remind, reschedule, provide social support. Our outreach efforts include a lot of activities. I'm actually doing a roundtable on this later, so I'm not really going to go into outreach in this presentation. But during each type of contact we have with a woman during outreach, she has the opportunity to fill out what we call a pink sheet. Basically, she requests a service on the pink sheet, either a doctor's appointment or maybe she just needs a mammogram reminder at that time. She will provide basic demographic information, and then she can choose to authorize HHL staff to access her medical record. So So women requesting an appointment with a doctor are assigned a navigator. Usually they're assigned the navigator that they met at the outreach activity. And then women requesting a mammogram reminder are set up for a reminder in our database, just based on when they're due for their next mammogram. this table just provides a quick overview of the demographics of women who request a doctor's appointment. Our goal is to target women who are over 40, which we're doing about 90%. We want to target women who are un- or underinsured, and we want to target people, obviously, who are in our project area, so that's about 80%. Here, this is the demographics of women who are requesting a mammogram reminder. The demographics are really similar here, the one difference being a slightly higher percentage of these women are privately rather than publicly insured. So just a quick overview of our navigation process. Once the navigator is assigned a client, her first step is to assess the client's needs. So she'll determine if the client has a referral or if she needs an appointment with a primary care physician, a PCP, to get a referral. She'll determine if the client has insurance status or, sorry, if the client has insurance or whether she'll need help paying for services. Finally, she'll assess whether there are any other barriers to obtaining a mammogram, which usually there are at least one, if not a dozen. So there are a great deal of steps involved in obtaining a mammogram, and you know, women can be lost anywhere along the way. Several contacts are usually required to ensure attendance at each appointment in the process. So HHL, we really start by meeting our clients in the community and enrolling them into the program. And we finish by seeing our clients through all of their appointments, all the way to a diagnosis and treatment when applicable. So I'm just going to go through some summary and outcomes of the request closed basically in the last year. during this time period, we met about 9,000 women through our outreach efforts. And 357 of these women went on to complete a mammogram. So about 4% of the women we meet in a year will go on to complete a mammogram. So you can see there were 894 requests for a doctor's appointment. And again, 357 completed a mam, so about 40% of the women that we navigate will go on to complete a mammogram. Dividing the completed MAMs for the year by 12 months, the period, we get an average of about 30 completed mammograms per month. From the 316 screening mammograms completed during the period, two cancers were detected. So this gives us a cancer detection screening rate of 6 per 1,000, which is in line with what the literature suggests. And from the 41 completed diagnostic mammograms, one cancer was detected. That's about a cancer detection screening rate of 24 per 1,000. The lit here is much less clear, so there's not really a clear standard on the diagnostic screening rate. A quick look at the data on our incomplete requests shows that over a quarter of doctor's appointment requests ultimately result in unable to contact. Another 12% result in a refusal of services. So that kind of shows where, you know, how we lose people along the way. Finally, our data on mammogram reminders shows that 67% of mam reminders result in a new request, either another mam reminder or a woman then requests a doctor's appointment. So she wants help being navigated. We have a few measures for examining the time and effort required to complete navigation on a client. The nav completion time shows that on average, a client is in navigation for about 3 months, 99 days. That doesn't mean that a navigator spends every single day for 99 days navigating one client. It just means that to complete the whole process, it's usually going to take about 3 months. Some clients, you know, are in navigation for as long as a month. Second, the client contacts data shows that on average, a client must be contacted about 13 times in order to complete the navigation process. So So that, again, is from start to finish. You can see the breakdown for intake, completing the primary care physician appointment, and then the mammogram, the actual mammogram appointment, usually about 13 contacts. So some of those are a quick phone call. Some of them are, you know, our navigator actually going down and meeting the woman to go to the mammogram appointment with her, but 13 contacts. So as these numbers indicate, meeting, enrolling, and successfully navigating women is not easy. Each step is time intensive. This is particularly the case for navigation. The women that we target face a great deal of barriers to attending appointments, and there are a lot of steps involved in obtaining the mammogram. And again, we can lose women at any step along the way. So our goal is to reduce breast cancer mortality in the targeted communities by successfully navigating 30 women per month to mammography services. So far, we're on target with meeting this goal. HHL is the first known to us, anyway, outreach to action program. There are no evaluation strategies from other projects published. There are no measures of success. So there really aren't a lot of comparison data available. So we really have no benchmark of knowing if our project is effective, you know, aside from the goals that we arbitrarily set ourselves, which we're meeting. So our hope is that other similar projects will either begin or continue to track important evaluation outcomes and publish these data so that this type of work can be more uniformly evaluated. Thank you. I saw you first, so I'll start there.
I was curious if you all thought about a cost-effectiveness analysis. Mm. I mean, I know those are complicated, and you know, need the right personnel to help with that, but just knowing, you know, the amount of money and personnel resources you all are putting in, the grant dollars you're putting in,
yeah,
per woman who's screened and cancer's found.
Yeah, I think that we're slowly trying to get there. We really kind of actually about a year ago, like, really ramped up our database for tracking our clients. And as we move forward, we continue to try to better our measures of time spent in outreach, time spent in navigation. It's really difficult to track the time spent navigating a client. Again, you can say she was in navigation for 3 months. That doesn't mean 40 hours a week are spent on that client. Ultimately, we'd love to be able to do that. I think we're taking tiny steps in that direction, so that hopefully we could eventually do a more advanced analysis. But right now it's like, you know, it's all we can do to say how many contacts does it take, how long is she in navigation. So yeah, that's ultimately I think where everybody would like to go, but it's really difficult. And I think probably the biggest challenge that we face isn't from, you know, a lack of ideas or what kind of data we'd like to collect. It's the difficulty of asking your navigators who are already totally overburdened, oh, can you please track how long you were on that phone call? Can you please track how long, you know, it's just tracking that data is really challenging. So, yeah, over here. So how long they're in navigation for is from the date that the navigator is assigned. So it's not when they're met at outreach.
Okay.
However, there's usually only a week lag. So like the navigators are assigned new clients every Monday. So if we met someone at outreach the previous week, they're going to be handed over on that Monday. So from the time that they are the navigator is assigned to the time that they complete their services is their navigation time. And then what was your second one?
Sorry. They finish when they receive it, when they receive their referral, when they receive their service, the mammogram appointment, or when you get their results?
It's when they complete their MAM and we know that they have received their results. So sometimes we can see their, like, if we have access to their medical record, we can see their results, but we make sure the client also gets their results. Like, you know, we don't just be like, they've got the results, we're done with you. We make sure that they also get their results. I don't know where to go over here.
So, there may be some really important downstream effects of navigation on other outcomes. do you have anecdotally evidence that, say, when you re-experience a mammogram, that other things happen for that person? I think it makes the argument for navigation, when you need to present this other data. Oh, you reduce this barrier, the person's got a better place. So do you know if you're affecting people's lives?
Chris, do you want to talk a little bit?
Sure. Unfortunately, the way mammography is paid for in Illinois, if they get a referral for a free mammogram program, they can't get anything else that most of them have to pay for. So basically, if they go in for the referral appointment, they're only allowed to get a mammogram the next year. So if they have, say, diabetes or uncontrolled hypertension, they have to come back or pay copay. And most of the people we serve can't afford the copay, so they just once they get their referral. So it's, you know, it's not the best system in the world. They're getting their mammogram at least, and they're getting connected into the primary care world, sort of, but not in the best way, obviously, possible.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it actually almost presents a barrier because people will go in, they'll be told about other, you know, conditions that they might present. The doctor will want to treat them or do tests, which will then mean that they have to pay for something. Then they get very upset and they leave because they were told they weren't going to have to pay, and it actually sort of presents, it's almost like a barrier to us completing a mammogram because it raises more issues for the client. Sure, here.
How many navigators do you have right now, and how do you, what's the process for training them and getting them to
work? You want to go on that
one? Sure. Okay, so we have five navigators. We train them by inviting physicians at our hospital who work out of a big unit hospital. So we have a full arrangement of treatment and screening available there. So the doctors who provide those services come and train them. We've also had people from the state programs come and train us on payment. Medicare, Medicaid have come in. So we get a lot of speakers that are not part of our hospital system as well as physicians that come in. So they know about breast cancer, they know about the science behind it.
So they're not required to come in with any sort of extensive knowledge on breast cancer. It's more important to us that they come from the communities that we target so that they can, you know, establish relationships there. Should I do one more? I don't know. I saw one back here.
Yeah, you mentioned the different barriers that the women face. Do you have a sense of what barriers are neighborhood level, environmental barriers? Are you tracking those at all? Thinking about, you know, addressing some of these in an environmental intervention or things like that?
Well, I mean, the environment of our target communities are incredibly impoverished minority communities in Chicago. I think, you know, most of the barriers that we come up against are things like transportation, childcare. Some of those are, you know, easily addressed by the project. We have bus passes that we give people. Our navigators will go out and pick people up to bring them to appointments. I think those are, you know, and then financial, obviously. I think those are the most prominent barriers that that our clients face, and so, you know, our navigators do their best to try to help. You know, if the woman comes and she needs to bring her child, the navigator will meet her downstairs at the hospital and look after the child while she gets the mammogram. So, I mean, they're very just sort of daily things. Like, you know, the women aren't saying things like, there aren't enough parks in my community. They're real, like, these are the issues I face on a daily basis. And so, you know, we just try to deal with them as they come. I guess we'll wrap it up.
Thank you so much, Bijou. I'd like to invite the presenters to come up to the front. We do have a few more minutes if you would like to ask the panel any follow-up questions from their presentations. Yes, and the gentleman.
They are too young to have a mammogram. How can they actually explain to the individual to get a mammogram?
mean, at least on our project, our navigators are all over 40, with the exception of one who, I mean, is.
Oh, you need to come from
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that, again, like when we hire navigators, we want to make sure, again, that they're from the communities that they'll be navigating from. And, you know, I mean, one of our navigators now is even a breast cancer survivor. So, you know, we don't really face that problem. I can see that that would be a major problem, because an older woman would have a hard time taking a younger woman seriously when talking about going to get a mammogram. But at least for us, our navigators are all of age.
Any other questions?
I have one. I guess I want to know how many of your clients are in fact repeat screeners, because we all know that annual screening is more important than the first step. So certainly first screening is important, but more critical is the repeat screening. And in fact, African Americans, this data is showing that African Americans have the lowest repeat screening.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know how many of those you take came back.
That's actually a really good point, and I think I had that data in my abstract and then didn't present it here, and I apologize for that. You know, we would love for that number to be much higher. It's not. You know, I would not say anywhere near the majority of our mammograms are repeats. There are some. You know, we do. When a woman completes a mammogram, we set her up automatically for a reminder 1 year later. Then we'll contact her at that time. Some of them say, "Oh, I already got my mammogram. I got it last month." That's not the majority of the women, and so a lot of them, they do go back into navigation. So we will complete the next cycle of mammogram, but it is a low percentage. And again, I'm sorry I didn't bring that data, but it is a good point. Do you want to talk about that, Christy?
We also do have a hospital navigator, so we don't want to cross over because they're just doing the same thing, but the community navigators tend to have a stronger relationship with the patient. So they actually go and visit the patients when they're in the patient or in the infusion or the other navigators don't do that. So if the relationship is stronger in the community navigator, and then they will follow that all the way. So they're always navigated by somebody when they're treated in our hospital.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing that's interesting. Like, if we get an abnormal mammogram result, you know, we can see that in the medical record if we have access to it. And so if the in-house navigators are having a hard time reaching that woman to get her back in, a lot of times then our navigators, because like Chris, you said they have a better relationship, will go after that woman a little bit harder to really try to get her to come in for the abnormal follow-up.
We have a question from the gentleman in the back.
Yeah.
Definitely with print, there's been, I'd like to call it an explosion in terms of the last 4 or 5 years in the number of ethnic media outlets and newspapers. And a lot of folks, you know, to adapt to the current times are, you know, developing their websites and to have an online presence along with some of the standard media, the major media corporations. So, yeah, it's mainly through print, but we see, a large increase across the modes. We have time for one more question, please, yes.
I know you're doing a fantastic job, but that's what I do. Do the mapping,
you can ask the inmates, for instance, where those services are needed, be able to do a comparison to see how this waiting list goes back and be able to effectively grab the case.
Thank you very much, and we'll be staying up here for a couple minutes if you want to talk to us individually. Just wanted to thank all the presenters again for presenting this morning.